So all of you who have your Bibles with you, please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, verse 13, all the way to 15. This message is part of our sermon series on how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, not only in Samaria, but all the way to the ends of the earth. So we're in this series following on the footsteps of Apostle Paul, and we're about to read this passage, which is very, very interesting. So as I read this passage, I want to ask you this morning to just please try to imagine what's happening, because it looks like a horror movie. I don't know if you've been following this TV series called The Exorcist. And while I was reading this passage, I was thinking that a screenplay writer probably my thinking that he was inspired by passages like this. So follow me closely as I'm going to read from Acts chapter 19. So some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. So you have some people who are dealing with demon-possessed people, right? And it seems that these Jews, they've been following Paul closely, and they've learned that seems that there is a magical formula for casting out demons. So they learned the formula, and they wanted to try it out and to see if it works. So here's what they say. Here's what they said. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Now, can you imagine how fake that sounds? They're not saying in the name of the Jesus in whom we believe, but in the name of the Jesus whom Paul believes, okay? Now, verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, so you have seven people, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. So it seems that this turned into a family business. All seven of them were involved in this thing, okay? So, and then you have verse 15. The Bible tells us that one day, after they've been doing that over and over and over and over and that, over again, commanding these evil spirits to come out of the people, the evil spirit answered them. Now, can you imagine that, or can you hear that distorted voice? "Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about. But who are you?" Can you hear that demon voice? I mean, it's pretty scary. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to start off with this question that might sound odd coming from a pastor. But this is it. Does the devil know your name? Does the devil know our names? Or should the devil know our names? Because according to this passage, I find it amazing that devil knows who the true disciples are, who the real deal, the genuine Christians are. So based on what this passage tells this morning, I would say it's very important that the devil would know who you are, especially if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrected, the Son of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, if you look in the Bible, let's look at the context. You have Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul is doing all sorts of extraordinary miracles. And by the way, these miracles were not a result of his own power, but they were the result of the power of the Holy Spirit that was within him. And it was because he believed in Jesus Christ, that's where his power came from. And if you look in the Bible at all these extraordinary miracles, I mean, you see lame people walking, you see blind people seeing, you see deaf people listening, you see mute people speaking, you see all sorts of people with all sorts of mental disorders that they are restored, or people suffering from cancer that they are being healed. I mean, you see the power of the Holy Spirit, or the power of Jesus Christ. But you know what I find amazing is that Peter or Paul believed in Jesus Christ, but the reason he believed in Jesus Christ is because when he saw Jesus face to face, he had a life-changing encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And here's the issue. Sometimes we have people among us, or we find ourselves like these people, like these sons of this chief priest, Siva. Some people look around and they are looking at their pastors and elders as they greet the church, as they preach. And sometimes they hear the good feedback they receive. Great message, brother. Great message, pastor. Some other people, they look around and hear the good feedback that Sunday school morning teachers receive after they had a nicely done program here up front. Some of us, or some people, they are listening to the good feedback that the worship team receives. Great job this morning. Great job. And we get that impression that the most important thing, or the most important jobs in the church, are those up front in the light. And we find it hard to serve behind the scenes. And somehow we would say, I want some of that. I would like to be up there in line so all the people might see what I'm doing. But you see, the sons of Siva, you look at here in verse 19 in Acts, they were trying to do God's ministry, but in the wrong way. You look at them and you see, they say, we commend you in the name of the Jesus Christ that Paul preaches. They are not saying we commend in the name of Jesus Christ that we believe, or that we confess, that we preach. They're saying, well, this Jesus is not ours, it's Paul's, and let's give it a try to see if it works. So they were looking at what Paul was doing and they tried to replicate it. But if you look in the Bible, you'll see that they were not doing the right thing. And I think the message that we can learn from this passage this morning is, if God is not in it, then don't do it. If you feel that, or if you don't know, if you're not sure that God called us to do a ministry or get involved in one ministry or another, or do one thing or another, if you haven't heard the call of God, if we haven't heard the call of God, then we should not answer it. Why? Because we look in the Bible and we look in this passage, okay, and we see that these people try to replicate something that other people were doing, and they try to do it in the name of God. Now, how this passage applies to us? Very interesting. I just wonder how many times when we say, in the name of Jesus, okay, how many times we say it, we know why we say it. Is it because we use it as a tag at the end of a prayer? Is it because that's how we've been taught to end our prayers? I mean, you cannot end up a prayer without saying, in the name of Jesus. It's kind of, there's no ending to the prayer. What's the reason that we used to say at the end of our prayers, in the name of Jesus, amen? What's the reason we're saying? Because sometimes, if we don't mean it, if we don't know why we are saying, that sounds like a best regards at the end of a letter. Okay? We just put something that it would nicely end, in the name of Jesus Christ. And here's what I see the problem. Sometimes we end up our prayers with the "in the name of Jesus." And you look in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that people were doing things in the name of Jesus. And there were amazing things being done in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. And it seems that many times we pray in the name of Jesus, things don't get better. Maybe our marriages, they fall apart. We go through financial struggles that consume us. We sometimes feel miserable, but still we pray in the name of Jesus. So the question is, what's happening? What's wrong? And I'm afraid sometimes we have a big misunderstanding of what the name of Jesus is all about. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, let's look at some passages in the Bible that talk about the name of Jesus. Luke 9:1. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, Luke 9:1, it tells us that one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them what? Power. And he gave them authority to what? Cast out all demons, to heal all diseases. Now, what we learned from this passage is that there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is power of salvation in the name of Jesus. There is power of change in the name of Jesus. There is power to be free from the bondage of sins or from the bondage of the devils. There is spiritual and physical power in the name of resurrected Jesus. Amen. Then we look in the Bible and we ask ourselves, how do we know that? Now, if you flip your pages to Acts chapter 3, you'll see two of the disciples, you'll see Peter and John, and one day they were walking by a beggar, a lame guy who was begging for money right in front of the temple. And he was like, can you give me some gold? Can you give me a couple of pennies? And here's what Peter said. He turns back and he says, silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And guess what? He's walking. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, if you flip to Ephesians chapter 1, the first part of Ephesians, here's what Apostle Paul says. There's no name above the name of Jesus, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. There's only one name that we can be healed and saved, and there's the name of Jesus Christ, only one name. And if you flip to Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us that nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. I would say Buddha's name cannot save us. Name of Allah cannot save us. Our traditions, Pentecostal, Baptist traditions, they cannot save us. Our religion cannot save us. Church membership cannot save us. The only thing, the only name we can be saved in is in the name of Jesus Christ and through a relationship with the resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to tell you, for someone who's not a believer, for someone who has never placed his life into the hands of Jesus Christ, I mean, the name of Jesus Christ is just an empty message. But for someone who placed his heart or his life into the hands of Jesus Christ, I mean, the name of Jesus Christ has great power. Let me illustrate that for you. I was thinking to bring up this morning a basketball with me. But can you picture me holding up a basketball, okay? Now, how much would that cost? If you go to Walmart, Target, what shall I say? $6, 10, 15, 20 bucks maximum. But let me ask you a question. What if Kobe Bryant would hold a basketball after a very good, very, 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 very good game? I bet somewhere in between $30 million. I mean, the same ball, same manufacturer, same color, same material, same thing, but in the hands of two different people. So this morning, the name of Jesus Christ, from the lips of someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, is just empty, worthless words. But in the words of someone who believes in Jesus Christ, I believe there's power. When someone prays, when someone, a believer, when a church like New Life says, in the name of Jesus, here's what should happen. I believe that if a believer claims the name of Jesus based on what Bible says, the enemy should tremble. I believe the marriages should be restored. I believe the sick should be healed. I believe that comfort should be given to the hurting. I believe strength should be given to the weak. I believe churches should be built. I believe that people should be saved. I believe that our nature should experience a special awakening, and a spiritual revival should come in our country, in our lives, whenever a true believer claims on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this morning, at the end of my message, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you need a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? How about coming face to face with our risen Savior Jesus Christ and truly believe in His name, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ? Maybe some of you, some of us may need to start living in the power of Jesus Christ. So why don't you this morning place your life, your soul, your sins in the hands of resurrected Jesus Christ and receive the power, the transformational power that can change our lives and can help us bring forth the good news of salvation of Jesus Christ. May God help us, may God strengthen us, and live in faith every single day. Amen.